official offices or service delivered. Receive report on service delivered. And we are expecting Mpumalanga Western Cape, Northwest, and KZN. And according to the information that we have, from Mpumalanga, we will be having Mrs. M.E. Makazi. Mrs. Makazi. I was just the surname of Makutu. I thought that it has been started. Okay, it's Makazi, acting provincial manager. Probably when you come in, you'll explain why you're acting. Then we have got Mr. K. Hashane, the director of finance of the board, Ms. N. D. Chilwane, the GMO in Tanzania, and then we have got Mr. F. Berger, the acting GMO in Kharitsiwande. Then from Western Cape, we have got Mr. Yusuf Simon, the provincial manager, Ms. Almin van der Berg, acting director of finance and support, Mr. Musiwa Ngara, the GMO for Agilent Central Paris, Mr. Felicia Mukhele, acting GMO for Cape Metro. From Northwest, we have got Ms. Irene Mantasi, acting provincial manager. I just hope that they are speaking as a name for Agilent. Thank you very much. And then we have got Mr. Steven C. Ivy, Director of Finance and Support. And then from KwaZulu Natal, then we have got Mrs. N. E. Shandu, Acting Provincial Manager. And then Mr. N. Singh, Director of Finance and Support. Mr. M. Mujiwa, the Provincial Coordinator. Then, of course, we have got Samuel Manduane, the PO for the Ministry. And we have got R. Musa, the Deputy Director of Parliamentary Days. These are components coming from the Department of Home Affairs. But the last two, of course, they are based here in Parliament. They are part of us. Of course, they've got one leg in the department. And then, like as I said, all those that are acting provincial managers, then they'll explain why they are acting. And especially how long have they been acting. That's before they start anything else. Then, members, I think we have received apologies for Dr. Mello and Honorable Nicholas Killen and Honorable Ngomo. And we are aware that Honorable Hussein is on his way, will arrive today. And Honorable Maxson is here. Also, I think there was an indication of a little bit of a delay, but now she's already here. Thank you very much, Honorable Maxson. Then we are going to have time consciousness. Otherwise, we are going to be here for the whole day. And we can't be here for the whole day because I think at 2 o'clock we have got a sitting that you must attend. And some of you as well, I'm sure you may, if you are not down here for holidays, you may need to go back at 8, especially those that are connecting. Around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, then they must be running to the airport. And what we are going to do is that we're going to give 30 minutes each province to present. Please leave the other things that so-called missions and what, the mission is not a service delivery. Report on service delivery. And also remove the dream or whatever you call the future, what you think you are going to do in future. That's not what you want. We want service delivery. What you have done and what you are supposed to do and you have failed to do, and how do you think you are going to resolve it? That's all. And so we are going to start with Northwest, and of course appropriately we will prepare the forum from this position in Cape Town, and it's just fair that we start with them so that they can have an opportunity of living a little bit edited if they are going where they want to stay. Thank you very much, and I think I'm a patriot over there, and call up all Northwest, and then receive us on, and yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members of the Cultural Committee on Human Rights. My name is Irene Manchati. I'm going to present to you the state of the Northwest Province, especially on the service delivery. Charlton asked that you should explain why we are acting, how long have we been acting. Honorable Chair, I've been acting since the 1st of August 2011 today. The post was advertised 3 times. For the first 2 advertisements, I did not apply, but the 3rd one I applied. I was fortunate to have been called for interview in June the 29th. We are still waiting for the results. I have a similar contest, and I'm only going to speak to 49 pages. The last page is for thank you. That's 49 pages. This is the table of contents. I will quickly run through the service delivery points that we need to present to the Cultural Committee. Here is the introduction and background of the Northwest, in terms of the size, in terms of the kilometers, in terms of the flow of people into the province, the main contributing factors to the economy in the province. And this is the map, how we are situated, the boundaries. And here is just a picture. Then here is the footprint which I think you need to, the members, the honorable members would like to listen to, that we have the local office large, we've got 3 in the province, all 3 are filled and are operational, local office 14, small office 8, facility 7, port of entry 9, fiscal center 3. All in all, we have 74. And 73 are fully operational. We have only a challenge with Ramatlawama Health Facility. Because of the network challenge, it is sitting next to the borders of Botswana RSA, so it is affected. We have tried all the means to connect, but it is still a problem. I said about the footprint. Here are the offices in terms of the footprint in the Northwest. In terms of the district, where we are present, we are fortunately present in all the districts, in terms of the offices, hospitals, children's centers, and out of entry. This is Dr. Kenneth Kahunda, with 15 offices, and Dr. Ruth Sohomuti Mumpati with 12 offices, and the last district, Nakamuja Mulema, the headquarters of the Northwest, 21 offices. And here, in terms of the force of entry and mobile units, we've got 11 mobile units and 9 force of entry. And then here, the footnote says, so 118 areas, because we are going to talk about late registration of threats, which is really the target that we need to chase, so that by the end of the year, we have covered everybody in the Northwest Province in terms of our threat program, and registering everybody in the Northwest Province. We have identified 118 areas, which will get help from all the provinces in the country by the end of December. Here is the layout, the provincial structure. This is where we are sitting in terms of a provincial manager, director of finance, district manager operations and offices, small, large, medium, mobile units, and photo bench. And I'll zoom quickly to the target SPR, provincial business plan. We had 10 targets at the beginning of the year, no, 9 targets at the beginning of the year, because very COVID only covering the first quarter of this financial year, 2016. So out of 9 targets, we managed to achieve 8 targets, which is best location, the 30 days, and breast test, direct deportation within 30 days, transferring there within 30 days, fraudulent marriages, payment of invoice within 30 days, and hiring the thousand program. The only target that we struggle to achieve is a smart card issued. This is a template that we use for reporting the target at the APP of the department. Our baseline was 38, that is 2014-15, we had 38,395. For this financial year, we targeted, we projected 47,261 to register babies within 30 calendar days. For the first quarter, the target was 10,969. We overachieved this target by 105%, whereby we registered 11,463 deaths within 30 days after death event. So the analysis is just to explain that we increased our limit to assist the province to achieve the target. Some health facilities are serviced during the weekend and public holidays. That is the womb hospital, political hospital, flexible hospital. And the challenge that we have in some hospitals like Ramadabana is a labor challenge where the bandwidth is not enough to accommodate to accept the printing of certificates or to test the network. For a smart card issued within our annual target was 176,227 smart cards to be issued to citizens 16 years and above. For the first quarter, our target was 37,649 for smart cards issued to citizens 16 years and above. We achieved only 34,756. Smart card issued to citizens, which means we did not reach the 37,000 that we targeted for. And the challenge is the smart card dispatch to offices on the last day of the month, because this we are talking about smart card issues after having received. When they arrive at the last day of the month, it will overlap to the next month. In the smart card that we received on the 30th of June, were only received after the 30th of June. Employers charge for contravening section 49 of the Immigration Act. Our target was 40 employers to be charged. For the first quarter, we targeted 10. And the progress is 26 employers charged. While we have achieved the target, over the target we have help them stakeholders through the province police that assisted us during that Operation Sierra. It was during the third quarter, it was conducted around Vasilek, various lakes of Polisum, Freiburg, and Lafiken. Hence, we have achieved this target. We have not been working well because of the shortage of staff on the migration. We have 68 staff members. Now, with the help of the police, we are able to achieve this target. Number of transgressors of fragmental legislation charge is targeted 624. First quarter it was 156, but our performance was 343 transgressors charged. It was also we also got help during the Operation Sierra around Rustenburg, Rest, Left of Police Room, Private, the PK. And this helped us a lot to achieve, overachieve the target. 100% of detected and documented were reported directly within 10 days. Those are foreigners who are not supposed to be detained for deportation to the Lela. Like 6 people, 13 children. We managed to have 32 undocumented foreigners directly deported to their home country within 6 days. 113 detected undocumented foreigners transferred to Israel within 20 days. We also achieved this one. And we are helped by the police to manage that, to transport the foreigners to Lindell by providing us with their fleet. 853 undocumented foreigners were sent to the Lindell for deportation. 100% of fraudulent marriages finalized. Our target was 100%. We had only one fraudulent marriage, and which we finalized within the given time. Then, 100% compliance with CFSA regulation framework for payment of invoices within 30 days. 100% is the target. We had 260 invoices received, and all of them were finalized. Service providers were paid within 30 days. When we have achieved the target, we stop the officials from other offices so that we can have a strong team to manage the process for payment of invoices within 10 days. That has helped us a lot. The challenge that we have, we need a really a strong and enough support structure for the GM's office to cater for development of funding that are given to us to process the application, the payments of invoices and other financial matters in the provincial office. Chairperson, member, can you allow me to give over to the Director of Finance and Support now run on the issues of finance and sport in the Northwest Forest. Thank you.
Acting Provincial Manager. I would have loved you to continue to present on the human resources matters. And only leave the finances to the finance minister. But the issues relating to establishment and officers and the rest, and I would have loved to still hear from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll continue. This is a staff profile. we have 614 staff members in the province. Male, we've got 262. Female, we've got 352. And then people with disability, in terms of men, male, we've got 11. Female, we've got 5. In terms of employment equity targets for people with disability, the process was supposed to achieve 2%. But second, I would like to mention that we are currently at 2.6%, with 16 officials appointed of this category of these people with disability. And here is just to reflect the provincial capacity, as I have already alluded, that the total establishment is 649, but the postal as you see, 614, which represents 94.6%, 60% is post. And the vacant funded post, we had at the time of reporting, 35 vacant funded posts, which represents 5.40% vacancy. For filling of vacancies here, we wanted to do the breakdown of posts and to state to the honorable members how far are we in terms of filling those posts. The first post, chairperson, is the post of the provincial manager, where the post on the right, the right-hand side shows number of posts interviewed at the end of June 2015. This post was interviewed at the end of June 2014. And then at the bottom, we have the post with the interviews where have to be carried to the next financial year. I mean, to the next month. So we've got out of 7 on this page, which is a subtotal, 6 posts went to the interview out of 7. And then the slide continues to reflect how many posts were interviewed. From this slide, all the posts were conducted interviews. And on the last slide, and we show what is presented as what the people already starting to work by the before the 30th of June. That the disability check is most of the people that are reflected there. Some of the cases, you see that the cases were still sent to head office for approval after having signed the letter for open letter for them to touch our office. This last page shows that the number of homes that we advertised was 33. We shall keep at 33. Number of homes interviewed at the end of June 2015, 32. Because we had that one post that we dealt with in July. Then here is just a summary to indicate that because we reflected that we have 35 posts, vacant funded posts on the establishment, there were 2 other posts of immigration and one of immigration and the other one of caseworker, supervisor for Freiburg and Rasenberg. Which were still advertised. So the total number of homes goes back to 35 vacant funded homes. Then this is the breakdown of posts as per advertisement. They have indicated the provincial manager post Northwest and all the other posts that I spoke about in the previous slide. They all come to 35. Here, it's just to reflect, and this is a very important issue for the department, the performance management and development system, that we have staff members. Out of that 640 staff members, only one person did not manage to sign a performance agreement at the beginning of the year, that is the 1st of April, due to illness. And then TMD probation, we had 16, and all of them we assessed for the first court. For the employee relations cases, yes, two fraud cases, fraud and corruption cases, two people were deceased, one for Jacob, one for Adamella. One had a misrepresentation. The person was deceased. She was basically sent out as court of entry. The other one used intoxicating liquor. The case is still pending. Investigation reports is, but at the time of reporting this, it was sent to help his assessment. And the case is for Simpatrick Court of Entry. Sanctions, we have three sanctions. Dismissal, Flagstock, Skilpatrick, and Adamella. The case is summarizing the report. We have fraud and corruption, intoxication of people during working hours and misrepresentation. And these are counter-corruption cases. We received two cases. Here is my health at two offices, Flagstock and Adamella. I've come to receivers, Flagstock and Adamella. We don't have any challenge. This is how we then interact with the staff in the following manner. We ask that they must have daily operation meetings where they share the information through the internal communication, especially the front office staff, before they open for the public. They have a staff meeting once a month at the end of the month, the last Wednesday of the month. Top management meeting for the provincial office is done monthly, executive bi-monthly meetings by the province, CECO by the provincial office, each forum by the provincial office on a monthly basis. This is then to reflect the development training that we conducted. We conducted to 57 officials, male and female, in the province, and in terms of race, we also covered. Management of leave, just to indicate that already from the 1st of April to June, there were 126 officials out of 614 who applied for annual leave, and the days were 306. Number of officials using vacation leave, 397, and then all in all is 1,644 leaves taken from April to June. Official using incapacity is 38, and at least when they added together, they are 573. The sick leave cycle started 3 years ago, it will end on the 31st December 2015. Because every 3 years, we are given 36 days. And those who exceed their 36 days fall under incapacity leave. Then, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'll start off with the summary of our budget for Northwest. We've got a total budget of 168,390,000. Compensation for employees is 154 million. goods and services is 14,416 rand, and transfer and subsidies is 97,000. Currently, at the end of June, we have spent on component on total 41,255,000. Compensation of employees is 59,369,000 rand. Goods and services 1.8 million, and transfers and subsidies 13,000 rand. Commitment that is still like all this expenses still need to be paid is that goods and services is 876,000. Sorry, my computer just died on three from there. Commitment transfer and subsidies is 83,000 rand. A total of 959,000 rent was spent up until commitment up until the end of June. Spent at the same time, compensation employees is 26%, goods and services is 13%, transfer of subsidies is 14%, so, and we spent for the first quarter expenditure is 25%. We are projecting that we will spend all this money, definitely. If not more, compensation of employees will be 115 million, goods and services 10,811 rand, transfer and subsidies 72,000, and the total that you still need to spend is 126,590,000 rand. Revenue collected per district of the NALA, in total we collected 8,176,000 rand. Dr. Roo Mupadi, we collected 575,000 rand. Kenneth Kalunga, we collected 2 million rand. Nakamujiri Malema is 2.2 million rand, and Bonjanala Platinum, we collected 3.3 million rand. Our fleet northwest, we've got a fleet of 97 vehicles, of which 94 is functional and 3 that is currently not functional because they're in an accident. Mobile office, we've got 11 mobile offices, of which 1 is not functional present, so we've got 10 functional mobile trust offices. Asset management, we've got 9,863 assets in the province. Lease assets, financial lease assets, mostly photocopy machine, is 51. And then last year, we couldn't verify 53 of them assets, of which we are busy with investigation and processes to be followed. The AG has done audits on assets at Amabati last August. Office on 18th of June 2015. All the assets on the floor could be verified, and the assets on the register could also be found. So, we've got 3 major findings there. Not major, it's not that. Assets on 6 asset register is incorrectly tagged as ring fence. So not all our assets were ring fence, the old assets. Assets found on the asset register, there was assets found without serial numbers, and assets recorded without condition. We didn't indicate if it's good, bad, or fair. We are currently doing a manual asset verification, and then we are updating all those findings across the province on all our assets, on all our offices in asset register. We are also verification of a quarterly basis. We're also doing spot check, and we also got check with the office manager, and every person must do on a monthly basis a checklist behind the doors. They must verify that all the assets are there, and they must sign off. There's also we call it a verification certificate that we need to complete and submit to the provincial office. Updating of movement forms and additions on board system on a monthly basis. We're also updating the board system on a monthly basis. Then refurbishment. Because three officers that they are currently busy with preparation upgrade is at Malang, Malopo and Mangpo medium officers. They will be possibly handover on the 11th of September at Malang and Mangpo. We believe that according to that the contractors will be handed over finally on the 24th of February 2016. From our medium office, we are in a busy sketch plan for the new construction of the new office. So we are working on constructing a new office, a committee meeting scheduled for 4th of September where we will approve the sketches. Christiana's small office is also a new building that we identified to extend our footprint. We just had a site inspection on the 13th of August 2015, so we also just need to currently look at the plan and the schedule. Zero existing and Kanesa medium offices, we have moved into the new lead building during the last 3 months, all of them, from January up to now, we have moved into those three offices. Achievements, we've got stakeholders collaboration, the issues, participation in various service delivery programs such as Cortana, participation in Operation Fiela, the province received few order findings during the AG visit, Mr. Pele initiatives, along with Mr. Pele initiatives and Dr. Kenneth Kunda and Dr. Roof in party district, the service delivery extended to a large number of committees through the stakeholders. More arrest of translations of departmental legislation with the CLM project, concerning the identifying improved administrative capacity and efficiency, and for the better assistive change and culture of professionalism instilled in offices. Challenges. Office accommodation, we still got another serious constraints in office accommodation. Spaces running the provincial office, Rustenburg office, and Frenter Dorf small office. What needs to be done? Construction of office on state-owned land. We've got uncollect ID documents, green ID, ID smart card. High number of uncollect IDs in offices which expose the department of risk to corruption. What needs to be done is national communication to encourage clients to collect enabling documents. And we've got also turned up by clients to apply for audit smart card. The chance is clients is not turning up to collect their smart card. We suggest that mobile solution to reach out to far-flung areas and tools. And then IT connectivity. We've got especially northwest along the border for poor network and low bandwidth of some health facilities as well, which increase efficient service delivery. And then we suggested installation of ADCL and some health at some health facilities. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you have anything to say in 30 seconds?
I need anything. This is what you wanted to share with
us. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And then can we then get Kuma Langa to be ready to be there? And then we'll have a discussion on both.
Honorable Chairperson and members, colleagues, good morning. I'm Matati, acting provincial manager for the Mpumalanga province. The quote for the Mpumalanga provincial manager fixed on the 31st of August due to retiring. So I've been acting for 7 days. This is my question. Yes. Thank you. That's the table of contents. I'm not going to go through all 8 slides. We will select the ones that are important and crucial. The first one talks to the layout of Mpumalanga and the history. We won't go deep into that. The first one shows how we are spread throughout the 3 districts in Mpumalanga.
Is it possible just to indicate what position you have been holding before, so that we know exactly your knowledge of the department? So.
I am DMO of Nkangala District. Thank you. I was still on the 3 district in Mpumalanga, the biggest thing in Shandeni, followed by Herd and Nkangala. According to census 2011, we are around 4 million in the province. That's how the provincial management and demarcation is. Acting provincial manager in my turn, then we have our director, finance and support, seated next to me. We then have our 3 districts, Enhlanzeni being the largest, with 10 offices, 5 ports of entry and 12 health facilities. The second one is Nkangala district, which I am still heading, which is an inland district, and no port of entry, 7 offices and 9 health facilities. Then we have Sibande, which is led by the acting district manager, Mr. Franco Boyega, with 7 offices, 6 ports of entry and 10 health facilities. That just shows you some footprints. That is the layout of the area. Also note is to see that we are bordered by both Mozambique and Swaziland, and please note that Maburon and Sub-Kobleskan are no longer with us. That's our footprint, the provincial office and the number of offices, 47 in Enshubeni, 31 in Kalala, and 40 in the first kilometer. The next one shows how our footprints are within the different municipalities, the number of large offices, medium offices, small offices, and our strong center as to how they are spread within Enhlanzeni district. The next one is the spread within Nkangala district, the same number of offices and the health facilities, the large, small, and two centers. And lastly, that's how the spread is within the health development district. The next one indicates the number of health facilities that we're having within the province. We have a total of 13 health facilities that are operational and 28 that are not operational. That's the number that shows within this district as to how many we have. We need to mention that our health facilities are giving us a form of a challenge in terms of network connectivity. The main aim was to have our best registration done in health facilities so that we can move and reduce the queues in our offices for better service delivery. As we identify the health facilities where bed registration will take place. Another reason for that was that it would be easier for the mothers to register their babies immediately after birth, so that can also reduce on the issue of LRBs, which is going to be closed on the 31st of December this year. However, we have a few challenges since we have some health facilities that are not operational due to connectivity and the 3G card not working at times due to the renovation in hospitals, where we need to move our offices and health service delivery. next that shows the issues that we have within the province as well as in the majority of offices that we are utilizing. We have renewed those that need to be renewed so that the delivery can continue and is not disrupted. As you can see on the slide, those are the dates for renewal. I'm not going to go into detail, but we have renewed all the leases that we have so that we don't disrupt the renewal. That's the same as from Gangala and Sastivandi. That indicates to you the number of mobile offices that we have. We've got 11 in total. The number of non-functional ones are 6, which means we are functional at 45%. We've got 5 mobiles that are functional. The reason for the mobiles not to be functional are that at the time when we prepared this, 3 mobile offices were damaged. Some had broken satellite dishes. The other reason is that the equipment from one of it was stolen. This happened when it was with a service provider. But the matter has been reported and have a case number. One of the mobile offices was taken for service, but it has since been released now and is working properly. And one had issues with batteries, but that was also solved. That's the next slide, which is on but it's on smart IDs. The targets that we had out of the 13 offices that we have within the province, 221,000 was the annual target. But we're now concentrating on the quarterly target, which was set at 55,444. We didn't perform well on that because we are at 42.375. There are quite a number of reasons why we couldn't reach our target. Some are due to the fact that people who got the green ID card and who can still use them do not feel compelled to apply for smart cards, but we are improving our communication and inviting people going to school, going to pension points, working with our stakeholders in order to sort out the target. We also have a roll out plan for the traditional office, smart card offices. In Kapibande, we have identified the Sanderson office, Fallback office, Secunda, and sorry, Sanderson has been repeated. We also have a review in Enkangeni district. That's our human resources, which shows how many officials we have within the province. We have 803 officials within the post, number of posts according to our structure. We've got 747 posts that have been filled and 42 vacant unmet positions. Out of the 42, 32 were advertised and the recruitment process is currently in progress. 10 posts have not been advertised due to the fact that we are busy dealing with the prioritization of this post so that we can have positions in our health facilities in order to enhance registration of birth and certificate in our health facilities. Next slide explains the number of posts that have been advertised. The first one, which is not indicated there because this was done before it was updated, is the post for the provincial manager, which was advertised on the 17th of January. The interview process has been taken care of. We are awaiting the appointment of the provincial manager. The rest of the positions, I don't think I should mention them one by one. Those are the ones that have been advertised. Next slide is on our employment equity, which shows the number of officials that we have and also differentiates as to how many males, how many females, disability, etc. I will only talk to the summary, which is at the end of that slide. We are at 94.39% African, 1.07% British color, Indian 0.2%, 4.28% white, and 2.94% for people who are living with disabilities. The next slide talks to the list that was taken. As indicated there, the different types of leave, vacation, sick, etc. I won't go into the details, but the total number of days is 5,764.15. We also indicated in the footnote there that 45 applications for PILA were submitted, 42 being short period and 3 long periods, and one case has been approved, and we are awaiting results on the outstanding cases. PILA is the leave that we take when a person is sick and exhausted all the days that they have, then we go for long period of leave. The next slide is dealing with people management. No, it's staff development actually, where we show you the training that we did in order to improve service delivery, because we gave the officials need to be updated on the new issues that come along. We had the diamond release, which has to do with smart card effectiveness as we do the applications and issuing, which was done in April. 20 officials from the province attended. We also had an emotional intelligence training, which was attended in May. And we also had an inspectorate training, which was attended in May to June. We had induction of our new members, which took place at May and June, because as and when we appoint new members, we do the run through the induction program. We had the immigration regulation training, which was held in May, and 16 of our officials attended. And in terms of the provincial staff engagement, we have our top management meeting, which is chaired by the provincial manager, which is held once monthly. We have a provincial management meeting, which is also held monthly. Each district out of the three holds their district management meeting, which is also held monthly to talk about operational issues on both civic and immigration and security issues as well. We also have a stakeholder forum meeting where we meet with our stakeholder forum and talk about operational issues within the province. The provincial one is held half yearly, and the district one is held quarterly in all the three districts. We also have a security committee meeting, which is held by one of the office managers, where we deal with security issues. We've got a committee that deals with this. They have a meeting which is held quarterly. We also involve our youth. The chairperson of the youth chairs the youth development meetings that are held monthly, where in the plan events and the reports on the previous activities that took place. We also have staff meetings in all our offices, which are held on the last Wednesday of the month at our new office hours between 7 and 9 before we open for the public, where we discuss the new issues, the circulars, the operating procedures, etc., to keep ourselves up to date before we serve our customers. And on counter corruption, we've got 3 cases that were reported of fraud and corruption. The issues are still dealt with, but there is progress that is going on. We got one which leads to improper conduct that is also being dealt with. We had 3 warnings that were given to officials. The cases that were received were 8. Up to now, no hearings have been held because of a lot of cases that have been dealt with one AFP who deals with investigations within the province. The 34 cases that we had were vetted and all submitted to head office. The next will be budget and resources, which will be handled by the director finance, Mr. Kashani. Thank you very much. Assistant Director.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members and colleagues today. I'm going to take you through the date of expenditure at the end of June, which is for the first quarter. The total budget for the province is 210,214,000. During as the 10th June 2015, the expenditure was 52,939,559, which represented 26% of the budget. That means that the province was still in line with the norm, as we are supposed to be spending around about 8.2% each month. If I go into detail, with regard to compensation of employees, we had 26% expenditure. Goods and services was 27%. The reason for that a little bit high expenditure of 1% is due to the fact that we had also to take care of the accruals which emanated from the previous financial year. Under machinery and equipment, we had 250,000, of which the level is 0%. The reason being that during that particular period, we still did with the identification and also processing the procurement of the office furniture. And that the state of affairs will definitely be 100% by the end of the third quarter, as the orders are being already been sent to service providers. Under provincial and local governments, the expenditure is 0%. That budget basically is meant for the renewal of the licenses for our vehicles, of which during the third quarter, there were no vehicles which were due for renewal, but as the time is progressing, there is expenditure that is taking place there. Under households, the expenditure level is 130%. That expenditure reflects the payments that are being paid for the office, towards the officials who are exiting the services. For example, the early gratuities for those people who go on pension, some of them who passed on. We don't basically budget for those expenses. It's simply because in more cases, they are unknown, but they will be catered for under the budget for compensation of employees. So towards the end of the financial year, we normally compensate that expenditure under compensation of employees. Then that is the current state of expenditure. Then with regard to revenue generated, I've got all the municipalities and the amount, but I will go to the total. The total revenue generated during at the end of the third quarter was 10,864,480. Trying to break it down, sale of goods and services produced by department, it was 10,596,062. Fund section 50.3, 255,000, and revenue, financial assets is 43,368, which gives us 10,864,480. That is the revenue. With regard to asset management, at the end of the 2014-2015 financial year, the number of assets were holding in the province was then at 12,646, with a rent value of 69,673,882.28. Out of that 12,646, 5,556 assets were verified, with the value of 69,052,207. There were 90 assets which were not unverified, and the total compliance percentage was 99.2%. The reason for those unverified assets was firstly the issues of assets which were lost, and in those cases there are case numbers and the process are being handled. There are also cases whereby the assets could not be accounted for, and the letters have been sent to the officials with regard to those cases. We had also some cases whereby after the scan of the assets, remained as unverified and the matter has been taken up with our system control and PwC that is managing our asset management system from head office time. The province was not audited by the DG during the 2014-2015 financial year, especially under asset management. So I don't have that report for the specifically for the province. I can't say I know exactly 100% due to the fact that the AG, they decide on which provinces and which offices they are going to go to bring their audit. So initially, there were some offices which were identified for visits within our province, but later on, AG decided that they are not going to go to those offices. With regard to the payment of invoices, I would like to indicate that during the end of the first quarter, 100% of all our invoices that were received from service providers were paid. The reason that of which I would say we have managed to achieve this is because during all our official engagements in the province, we are emphasizing the fact that as soon as invoices are received from the different offices, it should be escalated to the catering point. And so far that is assisting, and also the offices within the province are trying by all means to assist us in availing capacity to deal with those cases, because we don't want to have any invoices that exceed the 30-day payment period. Coming to the fleet management, at the end of June, we had 123 vehicles within the province. The breakdown, for example, there were new vehicles received. We had 217 vehicles which were replacement, meaning that there were vehicles that were old, then they were replaced by new vehicles from G-Fleet, and we had two additional vehicles, and the total additional vehicles were 19. Number of non-functional vehicles, there were 7 vehicles which were out for maintenance and purposes, and there were 5 vehicles which were involved in accident, and the staff were non-functional, and the total is 12 of our vehicles, which constitutes 10% of our total fleet for the province. There were vehicles that were disposed during the period. There were 2 vehicles, and we had to return 10 vehicles to come in garage, which gives us 13. The number of vehicles which were functional in the province were 111, which makes 90% of the total fleet of the province. That took up to the end of the finance presentation, Chairperson.
Okay, you continue.
Yes, but we have about 5 minutes to do so.
Thank you. We go to operations quickly. I'll quickly show you the number of targets that we had and how we performed on the targets. On the newborn children registered within 50 days, we met that target. We actually overachieved 101%. Smart card issue, we also met the target. The next one on outreach campaigns, we got one outreach campaign within the province. When we were preparing it, it was before it was held. It started yesterday on the 17th and it will run until the 18th. So we are busy with that at the moment. That's the statistics for the mobile offices, just to show you how much revenue we are collecting. Total is 43,115. That the number of employees charged, our target was 8 and we charged 8. The number of transgressors of department legislation charged, we had 415 as our annual target, 112, but we overachieved due to the assistance of operations here because we had more human resources and also more other resources in terms of vehicles, etc. Detect undocumented foreigners, 100%, that's our achievement. Detected undocumented foreigners transferred to Lindela within 20 days. We transferred all that we got, that's 100%. Percentage of fraudulent marriages that were finalized, all 21 were finalized, which is 100%. Compliance with PFMA regulations, 100%. The next one is green barcoded IDs that we are having in our offices. We handed out 12,776 LRB applications that shows you the number that we dealt with, which is a total of 847. And The next slide talks to the unabridged certificates that were issued, as well as the equivalent letters between June and July. Those are the numbers, 1,972 issued, 134 equivalent letters during July, 1,849 UPCs, and 209 equivalent letters. Those are the number of cases that were withdrawn, and those are the reasons. We had 42 all in all among those different nationalities. In some cases, there were no witnesses, 23 cases, 6 cases were minors, some were married to South African, and then after withdrawal, our role was to deport those people, which we did. The next one, I won't go into the details. It shows the employers that we touched, who they are and what the offenses and sentences are. And next is our port of entry, which shows both the arrival and departure chart. During the period of reporting, we had 273,956,658 South Africans arriving and 882,658 with a total of 1.1 million arriving. Departures 1.085982 million, 278,000 of which were South Africans and 810,000 foreigners. And maybe we should note the refusals and the arrival in the arrivals and the departures. For South Africans, nothing. Foreigners, 2,930, which will be our total. The refusals, 734 South Africans. And please note that the refusals of South African citizens had nothing to do with the issue of unabridged certificates. It was only the documentation which were not right, maybe the passports expired, etc. The next one shows you the number of the travelers with both unabridged certificates and equivalent letter at our different ports of entry, as well as those travelers that were refused at our ports of entry. The next one shows you our total statistics from 2004 up to date on the number of foreigners that were traveling both to Mozambique and Swaziland. And this shows you a few of our achievements throughout. The accommodation issues, we had serious issues in those offices, Mapeni, Ngomazi, and KZU, but we have seen secured alternative accommodation, which will definitely improve service delivery. And for example, the picture there shows the office at Mapulane, which was operating in one small office, which was not convenient. We've seen secured a new accommodation, which is bigger and more accessible in our clients, which will definitely improve service delivery. And another challenge that we have is due to infrastructure, but we're engaging every now and then with public works to have better accommodation. Another challenge was on the smart card ID target, which I alluded to earlier. Another one on the illegal foreigners, and this will be dealt with better as we finalize the establishment of our border management agency. We also have a challenge with inadequate vehicles for inspectors when they do their operations. We need better buckets. We are negotiating with government garage, and we are seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. Health facilities, I've already alluded to this in terms of network, which we are improving by having talks with our hospitals so that we can use their network instead of the bridges, which are giving us difficulties in connecting. We also have issues on the runaway track, particularly at Oshoko for port of entry. And that is a big challenge because the area cannot be extended due to the dependency on landlords and the surrounding area. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And honorable members, we have received the two reports from both provinces. And I'd love to really thank you, both provinces, Northwest and Mpumalanga, for having managed to present your service delivery report. And there is no way that the Department of Home Affairs can deliver services to out through you in the provinces. And your commitment to give service, it's highly regarded and it's encouraged, and so that the whole country then can be able to deliver services. Of course, with the new dimension that your department now has to have high levels of consciousness in matters of security, and then it is much more important that all the officials must be trusted officials, because your officials have got the capability of sailing prison ships, even to wrong people, and we hope that with your high level of consciousness in the province, you should assist the department and government to ensure that only committed officials and those that try to steer away from corruption and fraud do give service in the provinces. Everybody must do this or have it wherever you are to really deal with corruption and fraud. And then if everybody does this or have it, and then the whole will get rid of corruption and fraud. Then we do thank you, and but maybe you should explain to us how are you going to deal with the district office of Nkangala if it comes to you as a province to come and present its situation. How are you going to deal with it? The DMO of Nkangala comes to the province to come and present their problem to the provincial manager. And once the provincial manager to really attend to their problem in the district, how are you going to handle that? You can just start thinking how you can handle that, and to respond to that particular issue when you respond to questions of honorable members. Honorable members, there we are. Please assist just simply to identify the two provinces of Northwest and Mpumalanga with whom are you directing the question. But what I just want to ask the two provinces is that even if a question is directed to Northwest, if it's applicable to your province, give us a response. Honorable Rakuti, and then Maxson, and then Nancy, and then Usei, and then Kenya, and Kumede. Honorable Rakuti, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I feel so bad at the women who are active in the position, and I think they should really speak up to the case, especially the Northwest one. But thank you very much. I just wanted to check, you know, the level of the employees who are being charged for this fraudulent kind of activities. If you can just tell us if they fall in which level, because so that we can be able to see the trend of the kind of those employees who are really doing that kind of fraudulent tendencies. And I just wanted to check what can be the problem, especially in the Northwest, why bad people are not applying for this, the youth might cut. Did you check what are the rationale behind this? And, I'm sorry, it is not part of the, it's not part of the slide, but just to check, if a person is being dismissed, in the public sector from that kind of fraudulent tendencies, and that how long can a person be taken back to the public service? I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know if the thing is asked. Okay. Let me use the time. Okay. Thank you, Chair. And my question will go to Southwest. As an thing, I think it is abnormal, really, that if anything can act for foreign, I think it's also against the labor law. But again, nevertheless, we will just ask some questions because we are there in the position. I have seen that Ms. M.E. Johnson is managing two districts. But that there is no effect on those two districts when she's acting on both of them. This court does not put any stress on her as a person who's responsible for those two districts. You also spoke about the poor network, that is also a challenge when you perform on your job. What is the plan in place? Because it also was mentioned also in Malang, it looks like it's a common challenge in all provinces. I'm not sure if the other presenters are going to service to mention that. But I remember very well when the GF department also came to its committee and presented, it also mentioned that. Because I think this issue of network is high time to be faced now. I think it caused a problem. Under Mpumalanga, I have also seen that the ex-district manager in Gauteng has been acting for so long. I would like to get a clarity why and how long, what is the departmental plan on him as well. The other thing that I want to ask both from Northwest and Mpumalanga is this, the connection between the Department of Home Affairs and Health Facilities. Do you have the connection? Because it looks like you are having really problems there. Both on the department, both on the Northwestern and Mpumalanga, there is a corruption element that you spoke about. And I'm also disturbed, let me just mention this, Chair, I'm also disturbed by Northwest when she mentioned that some of the achievement has been achieved through the Operation Fiela. It seems as if the department does not have their own plan. You're waiting for this Operation Fiela, of which I have, I'm against it, the Chair knows my position. Which is, we don't have any measures or planning. It looks like you're waiting for this Operation Fiela, which is operating nationally. Just to help you then. So maybe if you can also clarify to us here, what is your plan as a program? The issue of corruption, what plans do you have in place to reduce corruption? Why do you have to wait until a person is caught in corruption and then act? To me, the department must have a plan in place, not wait until the person is caught in conducting this corruption. Mpumalanga says your province have a large landscape and rural communities to cover. How do you coordinate the service for those people to feel that they are part and parcel of the department as well, to have access to equal access and high services from the department? Let me start to mention that those people are very reluctant. What is the plan? I can see that you said there is an intervention strategy, but to our position, we call it a campaign. Nina, you call it an outreach. So what is the plan in order to motivate young people to come? You know, before, even myself, when you talk about home affairs, if I had something to do in home affairs, I was also reluctant because of the historical background of home affairs, of those long queues. So I'm suspecting also that if you talk about home affairs to go and change those things, they say, no. Hey, let me just not to go and change my ID books because I have to be subjected in a long queue, I'm suspecting. So I would like to know the department, what are the plans are in place. Lastly, Chair, on page 17, those three mobile offices, it's very worrisome. And I would like to know from the department, if you don't have security, you don't have measures in place to protect them. Because if they are just staying there alone and people will come and break it, it looks like all other mobile offices will be also attacked to come court. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nancy.
Thank you very much, Chair. think when I was listening to it, supposed to be very clear about the point if it's really what is happening on the ground, that's what worries me. But if what you are telling us is what is happening, I think I'm a little bit comfortable. But my question relates to many that have been raised here. What worries me is this issue of target. This target has 8 people or 12 somewhere in one province to charge them for fraud and corruption. So that's what worries me. Why would you have a target of charging people instead of doing something so that people don't do their own thing? It's related to the questions I was asked. I just wanted clarification. Why would you have a target for someone to do something wrong and then punish that person instead of doing something before the person can back and forth? That's one question. Another one that worries me is this thing of acting and this post that are funded, but you have not employed people into them. Are you not contributing in this high unemployment? Because the money is there. It's all supposed to be saved. Certain things are supposed to be advanced. But both are there, and you are not putting up. I think I've noticed to both provinces and the same situation. So I'm worried about that. But the first thing, my understanding is that we wanted to hear on certain things. Now, just for the matter of asking, it's about also the end, which we were not going to be, if we're not in our first look at their end now. Maybe they could have answered. But just to hear, why is this thing about looking so long? I was worried about the farmer when I listened. You acted for 4 years. Now I'm worried a little bit. But I heard you at the interviews where I had never said that. How can you be sure that this post is going to be fixed? Because you didn't apply whilst you were acting for 4 years. Now you have applied. Maybe you were the target for the post. That's why they're not employing anyone. But then, that's not like I'm not a bad. But that could be at least. So that will make sure I'm in the provinces. We cannot allow a situation where people are acting so long. Why should people act so long? Why there's nothing that is being done? And that's one issue that I've worried about. So this thing of a connection with the health facilities. Both situations to me are the same as I was listening. But then I was worried because the last time when we were listening to from other provinces, the situation seems to be the same, which I don't think it might be relevant to you now. I don't think that I'm not sure that it will be my correct. I think the national office is supposed to answer us on this. Because when they reflected, they were giving us a very nice story about this unappreciated agency connecting with the health facilities. But when we reach you now, we are getting a different story. So you might not be able, but maybe if you are able to tell us, how best are you going to make sure that things are like that? I'm worried about Fiela. Fiela, like the talking another story. Now, I don't mind about Fiela, if it's there or not there, because it might be funded. But in this situation, what worries me is that the plan of the department has an internal plan to deal with these issues without depending. We know that you are in governance with other partners. You're supposed to be working together so that other things can develop. But I think if we can have a clear plan so that we know on the side that without these other departments, these are the things that we are doing so that we make sure that things are corrected. Sometimes I might not ask others because when I listen to them now, it's just that I have it. People as well, but not just this one, because also the ones that have been asked for this stuff that maybe I wanted to understand in this. But thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Hussein.
So thank you. I will push for time. I'll be as brief as I can. I just want to deal with just two issues. Firstly, may I just say that I think that the report from the Northwest Province is particularly encouraging. I noticed that a number of the targets have already been achieved, with the exception of one, if I'm not mistaken, but it's quite a positive report, and I think that we must give credit for that. The two issues that I would like to deal with is the one that you know, as I raised last week when we met with other provinces, which is a common problem, it's been raised for a while ago, is this issue of connectivity and birth registration at hospitals. And I'm interested that the Northwest got tried, and I'd like to hear, you know, how is it that you managed to fix that problem? Out of the 37 institutions, you get 36 of them are operational, which is fabulous. But in comparison, Mpumalanga is miserable. And I'd like to hear what exactly is Mpumalanga doing to try and resolve it. I know that I'm aware of the broad problem, but I'd like to hear your responses to what kind of plans there are to try and fix this thing from a more, if I can call it national level, or how you refer to it as a head office level, or whatever you call it. I get it that you're there for 7 days, so I'll take that into consideration. Okay, the other matter is something that I don't normally raise, and it's the issue of employment equity. Very lightheartedly, I say that I just worry that both in the Northwest and the Mpumalanga, there are very few Indians there.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to try and send them from KwaZulu-Natal up. So in Northwest, they're not training Indians, and in Mpumalanga, they're very behind on employment equity. So I'd like to hear what's going on. I'm going to have to start the Indian party there, maybe. Things will come right.
But
let's just hear what's the response. Thank you,
Jay. No, thank you very much. And then I'm sure we would not respond to that one. Honorable Mkhwenyi.
Thank you, Sebastian. Thank you for the interpretation. At last, I start by Mpumalanga. In Mpumalanga, you have potentially 11 mobile offices. But when I look at the table, out of that 11, there are a few that are working. And also, having that problem, also, there's the issue of satellites being broken. And you don't know what is done about that. Because the satellites are broken in most of them. And also, I don't understand whether it is the same issue that I'm talking about, one that is working functional and the three not functional. So that you're taking those numbers also from these three disputes. On health facilities, Rangala, only one operation out of nine, operational health facility out of nine. What is your plan on what mechanism are in this do you think you can remedy this situation? Noting that December deadline for the registration, and also, what is the reason for why immigrants are pending and this is withdrawn from the court? Also, looking at the province, not only is not being audited in this financial year, in the financial year 2014-15, what is the reason? That was the status of the audit. And we've been getting unqualified audit opinions now that the time around we have not yet been audited as if we are doing well on that issue. Coming to Northwest. On page 16, I think page 16, the last bullet that of the outreach campaigns, but they have not explained to us how many outreach campaigns they've done so far. Just to say we have outreach programs doesn't make a sense because there's no you have need to explain to us. And also, you have the target of smart ID card issue. What is the reason for the silence? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kumele.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kasete. Firstly, let me just say that we recognize that you are working very hard for the department, for our country. So if we ask you for a difficult question, it's not because you don't have the time. I think that we open my question with that recognition. Firstly, I'd like to know whether, given the fact that now Home Affairs is under the security cluster, are we having top officials getting through the processes of vetting as part of the control measures and measures to try and reduce corruption in the department? And together with that goes the question of control systems in the department, whether we are having adequately resourced and adequately working control systems like the audit committee and the internal audit, which is linked to the question of preventative measures towards corruption by good government. And two, the 10th department in both the provinces for their performance around payment within 30 days of invoice. I think that we appreciate that because it assists in as far as job creation is concerned and as a reduction in poverty is concerned, because it assists particularly for businesses. The question by the Northwest Department around communication, it mentions that it was the national department or as the national league department to assist around communication. But I would like to check whether they've tried the local media, like local radio, local newspapers around that area, because in some areas they seem much more to be effective because they address the footprint of the province. Pumalanga, around the issue of standards in offices, I received from the board that there are problems with the standards in offices, the way they are, and the challenge that the workers inside there meet because of the state of the building. And are we having improvements from that situation? But this was about a year ago. I do not know what has happened since then. Lastly, on the issue of communication around birth certificates, I accept that there is the 3G system. But also, I think it is a given that bundles are getting cheaper now. And as a result, we can buy ourselves some bundles and then upgrade and then up to an ADSL or using the administrator to get a higher district hotspot and be able to perform better. Given that we are having a finite vacant post, through vehement and we can achieve that without breaking supply chain management requirements. So those are the questions, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and for those specific questions, definitely one would like them not to miss the issue around the connectivity on hospitals, and therefore from Northwest is how you've done that perfectly from Pumalanga, and then why failing, and then the mobile offices, the functionality, also the upgrade on the mobile office, because I don't think that the mobile office that we had before, they have got the capability for the smart ID card. That, and then really the question of the filling of vacancies, then they should not be missed. We're going to give you a maximum of 8 minutes each to respond to the question, which means that you must develop the capacity of being caught and wonder. Yes, and then so it's who is ready? I'm sure all the mics are working wherever you are, and then whoever is ready, then it can start. It's not good. Yes, I'm going to time you for the 8 minutes, and then please just try to stick to that. I didn't have other two problems. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The question that was raised for the Northwest was
the problem about why people are not applying for smart cards. Yes, people are not coming for smart cards. We have cleared everybody around the town where we've got smart card connectivity. At the moment, the plan that we have in place, we have engaged our youth, we've got youth and traders. They are mobilizing people. They are going to the taxi association. They went to the taxi association to talk to them to ferry our elderly people because they are not paying anything. We only pay for the transportation to the offices. It is working very well. We are started with Rustenberg. Now, my brother joined and my children, because they don't have connectivity, we have arranged with them to organize a taxi to ferry people to Rustenberg, which is the nearest place where smart card is connected. Even surprised people are sent there. It's because of the democracy of the area. The area is very sparsely populated and very rural, and most of our clients are very far. The roads are also including on our service delivery to help our elderly people come into the office and their health also. But we are working very hard. I've seen, because I receive every day the statistics on daily basis from offices that are collected as well as the hospitals that we are getting there. After we have applied this method of engaging the taxi association to collect the people, bring them to the office, we prioritize them, they go back with the people, and then they can then get on their line, on their normal daily work.
That's why, Charles, you've got many questions.
Okay.
You're delivering so much on one.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Connectivity at Ramatlabama. We have proposed to the department, to appeal to IS, that they should relook at connecting the ADSL connectivity. That because we tried the 3G, we tried the network of the health facility. It is not really working for us because it is interrupted by the network from the other country, from Botswana. Operation PLA, we have only achieved. We have been achieving this target throughout all these years that I've been active. It is just to show how many people we actually apprehended during Operation Sierra. More than what we have been achieving. We have been overachieving the target, but it is not like when we had assistance from the stakeholders, the security, the police. For further corruption, two of the cases, because Honorable Chair wanted to know which level is actually affected. We have got in our province the two level 6 and one level 7. That's the middle level. But the people are already dismissed as we speak. For the mobile units, the security, we do have security 24 hours to secure the building as well as the mobile units in the Northwest province. Okay, also the other thing that I was asked to share with the honorable members and the colleagues who are here. I have a meeting on a monthly basis with the CEOs of the hospitals so that we talk about registration of beds in the hospitals. Where I see that there is a problem, we see with the CEO as well as the doctors. I also engage the MEC for help. Honorable Makume Masisi. And this is working very well because we also use their connectivity where it is possible. Because most of the hospitals, they manage to increase their bandwidth so that we can also get, because we are one government. As a risk program in the Northwest, I did not mention this because the major one is going to take place in December, which is in the business plan. But we have a major outreach program per quarter, per district. We have already an outreach program in Botswana district. So the second one was held during the course of this quarter, the second quarter, in Dr. Kenneth Counter. But the major one that is going to address the issue of make a registration of FEB to be done in December when the minister will be closing in the Northwest for the later registration of FEB. And how do we communicate with the people? Several times we'll engage the local media, especially the local radio station. If members were able to reach Northwest FM and Mabati FM, as well as Mutwedi, I appear on Mutwedi in April. There was also a newspaper about the Soweto captured when was marketing that was new border crossing that is going to be opened by the Minister of South African Ndatema Lusi Gigaba, Honorable Lusi Gigaba, and the Minister of Botswana, of whom I said member in Botswana. They are going to open that border crossing, appeared on the newspaper, also with the newspaper. That shows that we are really making use of the local media. Some of them are even free of charge. And then the Department of Communication in the province is also assisting us to market the services, because they always go with us. Wherever we go, we market the services. They will then accompany us as we are planting one stakeholder program, and then once we see that our people get the services that we want. I don't know whether there is something that I need from the local.
How many times do you go to that local community range a month as a provincial man?
Chairperson, for community radio station, I find my director, because they are situated at various areas. In the local, we have Mabatu FM, because in Chavasimbek, Bujanala, Northwest, and as well as Dr. Kenneth Kaunda. I do guide them and give them what to talk about, discuss, but only engage radio movie.
How many times in a month does that happen?
It happens
every month. Is it happen only when there are issues? Or is it a programmatic, there's a programmatic schedule that you frequently go to the radio or whatever in Taiwan, they go there and talk, say to people from about that. What is the arrangement? Is it plan or is that something that's plan?
No,
you only do it abruptly.
We just do it when we get a chance, because of the financial constraints.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Maranga?
Thank you. The first question was, how are we going to manage running both the districts and the province? As I mentioned earlier, I worked in a center, and during this 1 week, I realized it's not easy to run both the province and the district. So, one manager will have to be appointed and acting the role. The challenge is that the cook is not intent. It should be someone who's willing and responsible, knowing that there will be no remuneration for the cook to be taken. But that is what we have any to do in order to get there.
Have we had because you see, the provincial manager's post is there. You act in that post. Then are you not getting remunerated on that post? If someone now acts in your post of EMO, why it should be difficult for that person to be remunerated at your post? Because what's the arrangement? Because if you are acting in the provincial manager's post, because it's there, or maybe you would understand it from national office. Yes, because I mean, when you are acting in the provincial manager's post that is vacant, technically you have vacated the DMO. Technically, you have vacated it. Theoretically, maybe saying some other things, but technically, you have vacated that. It just depends on how the cost of your salary is going to be recorded and accounted for. But we will continue to respond.
On the issue of not attaining the targets of MedCard, we are having a plan where it, because our mobile offices are not yet fitted with MedCard equipment. They are going to schools to invite school kids because they don't pay anything to come and apply. We also have a relationship with the Department of Education wherein they identify these kids, and we are now having a plan wherein they come and apply for the smart card, and we're hoping that soon our targets are going to be met, so to say. We also have a plan wherein we go to the old age homes to invite the elderly, because those two groups do not have challenges like the other groups wherein they will say we don't have the 140 rights to apply for. During this high tech outreach that we're having, we're also inviting people to come and apply. On the issue of the acting DMO of Festival, the court has been interviewed and recommendations have been made. We are just awaiting appointment. That, unfortunately, as far as we can go, or as far as we know, is provinces, because further than that, the appointments are out of our hands. But everything has been done so far. The next one is on the mobile, where the satellite dish was stolen. In our offices, we do have security. That incident didn't happen within our premises. It happened when the mobile was taken for a repair, not with us. But since the case has been opened, it will be case number. On the network of health facilities, we are having contact meetings with the CEO of hospitals, because the fact is not that we don't have bridges, we do, but they still do not work. So hence we are having talks with them to use their network. We've tried this in big three hospitals, the hospital, using the hospital network, we have said it, and it is working. So we're going to roll this out to improve the connectivity. And that way, we are going to win the registration in health facilities. The next one, but on the Sanderson office. The Sanderson office has been established. It's one of the best at the moment. The next time you visit it, you will see it. The betting, Mr. Mahani will get to that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am going to deal with the issue of the thing and the question around audit. Chairperson, the audit of the department for the project financially not a good one. As much as we have not been audited as the province, there are interventions that we are engaging in to ensure that our data system has improved, because as the whole department did get a good audit report, the province itself also contributed, because there were issues around asset management and risk management. What we have done as a province, we are having an audit action plan based on the previous year's findings. For example, there are those checklists that we are dealing with them, content zero, on a monthly basis. We are also engaging, we are doing the monthly verification, especially when it comes to the issues of asset management, leave management, and all those aspects. We are submitting our monthly verification. Also, as a province, we have developed some annexes whereby the DMOs, the office managers, and our office, the provincial office, we are analyzing those cases, and after we have identified some deficiencies there, we are engaging with our head office to assist in that regard. There are also teams that are moving within the province. For example, there are teams that go around the province to deal with the issues of HR, that is the new management, which also had an impact on the previous audit result and also the asset. Then coming to the issue, the question of vetting. Vetting is done in the department, especially the senior management, starting from deputy director level, after, and also there is emphasis on vetting with regard to the immigration officers.
The challenge that we are experiencing with vetting, we as the department, we encourage officials to complete the vetting form, because the vetting is actually performed by NIA and all that. But the challenge that we're experiencing is that the results of that vetting, they take very long time to come. But also, prior to the appointment of our officials within the department, there is training that is done. For example, criminal record screening that is performed, there are creditor record screening that are performed, and also there are reference checks that are done to our officials. So in that regard, we are doing something. And also, our counter-corruption desk from head office is from time to time running workshops on anti-corruption within the provinces. So I'm trying to say, with regard to these corrupt elements, there is something that is done, but it's very difficult to think on that end because it starts from the person. I think that is all from my side.
All right. Thank you very much for the responses. And there may be quite a good number of questions that may not have responded directly. And we would require that all the questions, then you've jotted them down. You have jotted them down. I think the secretary will assist you with some of the questions that you may not be having, and then we will await your written responses to all of them. Even those that have attempted to respond, because when you get back to your office, I'm sure you'll have an ample time to actually collect your mind and possibly pick up. But the issue is the trends in relation to fraud and corruption in the department. Actually, where it happens, then why it happened, and how are you going to deal with it. And then the network. Then the network in the hospital, as Maxine has actually raised it. And then what's your plan to actually handle that for problem of network? And then we must get that response, and then the plan as well to deal with the illegal, not to wait for operations here. And then it's what are your plans, and then preventative measures for corruption, and then the mobile offices, are your mobile offices doing what you want them to do? Functional, upgraded, where they have to be upgraded, can they leave the place, are they safe where you are actually putting them? And then the issue of vacant posts, why do you have vacant posts? Is that funded? Why do you take ages to fill them? And then is there anybody that tries to expedite this national office, where you submitted recommendations to the national office? Somebody must sit on hold and get something else. And the other question, of course, is the question of audit. We must actually ensure that UOF is audited, because that's the only assurance that the rest of us that are not waiting for home affairs, then we can get to an audit. If there is no audit, then everything is just question mark. Then the rest is your offices. You can't wait until an office lease agreement has expired, and then it's then that you start spending up. It can't happen. The finance officials, I think they must be taken to task, because they must manage the lease agreement, and then they must start everything else to renew or to look for new offices in time. And, you know, we can't have this situation where leases expire and then everything starts being temporary measures, interventionist measures. When people are being employed and being paid every day in the office. So thank you very much. I think those are some of the issues. But all that we want to say is that we do appreciate the work that we are doing, but raise up the bar of being proactive and to be creative to achieve the targets and the objectives that your department is supposed to achieve. And then don't just rely on the old and the previous way of doing things. Creative and be proactive to actually smarten the way you are doing things and achieve higher levels of production. And thank you very much, and then I think you are released if you have got time pressures of setting your trips back to your rural province. But if you don't have those pressures, it is important also to hear other provinces how are they doing their thing. If you don't have plans, as well, do so. Can you then have a 5 minute break while the other two provinces try to address? And then those countries like Baptiste to sort out their sugar levels, then they discover their health.